We put our hands together as we thank the Lord for using this dynamic music ministry to really set the atmosphere today for worship. It's so good to be here with you. Message of hope. I want you all to know I feel at home. I've already made myself comfortable. I feel at home for a number of reasons. The first reason I feel at home is because my dear friend, my colleague in ministry, Pastor Bushner, invited me. And Pastor Bushner was my chaplain when I was at Oakwood. And he was the best chaplain we ever had. He always was hanging around with the students in the basketball, in the gymnasium, just being himself. And his lovely wife also, JoJo. She is my work mom. So every time I see Sister Bushner, I'm always calling her mom. And I'm just grateful to be here. But I also feel at home because for a while, my wife and I, we lived right down the road. We lived on Seminola. We lived there around 2012 to 2015. I believe around that time period, you all landed right here. You all have been doing amazing things. But this is my first time worshiping with you all. And I love what I've experienced. And God is doing a mighty work here at MOH. Go ahead and put your hands together for what the Lord is doing here at MOH. You all are situated in a prime location, close to the university. And one of my recent responsibilities that have been added to my plate is young adult and ACF. So myself and Pastor Lex Madrid will be working together to grow our young adult ministry and our ministry on our campuses. And so I look forward to working with MOH real soon. I'm not long-winded. There was a time when I was on a pastoral team, a great pastoral team in Huntsville, Alabama. And Pastor Snell was our senior pastor before he went to Oakwood, and everybody knows him. He was at First Church in Huntsville, and I was on staff there. And if you ever heard Pastor Snell preach, you know he is a mighty preacher. And I was sitting at home one day, and I said, man, I can't preach like this man. It's hard getting behind him. The Lord told me, you might not be able to preach like him, but he can't preach in 20 minutes or less. And so today I got about 20 minutes. I got about 20, 25 minutes that I want to share with you. Is that all right? I know some people say sermonettes are for Christianettes, but I just believe if we put all into the word, it don't take a whole long to get your point across. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, and let's look at verses 16 through 22. John chapter 16 through 22. I'm going to read from the King James Version, but whatever version you have is welcome. And while you all are locating that text, if you have an Android, you're probably still looking. If you have an iPhone, you're probably there already. You're already there. A little shade. Okay, priesthood of all believers, whatever device you have. And before I read the scripture, I just want to just say hello to my wife, Vanessa, and my two boys, Caleb and Jackson. Thank you for your support. I know you're by my side. I would not be able to do what I do without you, so I'm grateful to you. John 16, verses 16 through 22. The word of God says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he said. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, have sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I'll take a few moments to talk, teach, and preach on the subject entitled, No Pain, No Gain. No pain, no gain. Let's pray. God in heaven, we're grateful that we serve a great God. So we're asking that you would speak to us, for we are listening. We have issues, we have circumstances, we have hurts, we have pains, and we need a word from you. Please do not allow my sinful DNA to get in the way. This is our prayer. In Christ's sake, we pray. Amen and amen. No pain, no gain. Well, as we traverse through John's gospel of Jesus Christ, just prior to the text that we are surveying today, it was in John chapter 11 that the answer to the famous Bible trivia question is located. The question is, are you ready? What is the shortest Bible verse? You remember? Jesus wept. It's also in chapter 11 that Jesus raises his good friend Lazarus from the dead. Do you remember? That as soon as the Pharisees heard about how Jesus raised his friend from the dead, they plotted to kill Jesus. They said to themselves, "What do we do? For this man doeth great miracles. And if we leave him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." They took counsel, verse 53 of chapter 11 says, to put our Lord and Savior to death. Do you remember? Then in chapter 12, we see that Mary anoints the feet of Jesus. And Jesus the next day enters into the city of Jerusalem, riding on a colt, stepping on palm leaves. The crowd was screaming, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Do you remember? Then in chapter 13, Jesus washes the feet of his brothers, even though he knows one will deny him, one will betray him, and none of them will be there when he needs them the most. Do you remember? It is in chapter 14 that we have a blessed reminder that God has purpose for our lives and he will not forget about us. Verse 1 of chapter 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." He also tells us that he goes to prepare a place for us. And if he goes, he will return and take us with him. Do you remember? Chapter 15 opens up and we are inches away from the segment of scripture that we are surveying today. And John tells us that Jesus is the true vine. And we are instructed in this chapter to keep keeping God's commandments. Now, as we pull up to the chapter that umbrellas our theme for today, no pain, no gain, chapter 16 opens with the words of Jesus Christ, and the biblically literate know these to be his words because they are inked in red letters. And Jesus, through the pen of John, warns his followers then and us today that persecution was and is to come. I need you to understand that folk would try to cause bodily harm to you and I. Some folk will even try to take our lives. And we got to know that the devil himself will even persecute us. He will do all he can to bring the mess of the world to us on our jobs, in our homes, in our cars, and even in our churches. And so Jesus warns them then and us today that persecution comes to those who know the Father and know the Son. But Jesus doesn't give warnings without also giving us assurances. It's in verse 7 of the same chapter that Jesus, through the pen of John, tells us, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Oh, beloved, the Holy Spirit is with us, and it is the Spirit of God that will navigate our path into the truth of God and the safety of his arms. We've now landed informed on the text that we read earlier today and that also serves as our launch pad for our subject matter. It's here in verse 16 that the powerful yet almost confusing statement is shared with the disciples. He says, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now, of course, for us, we are living post the resurrection of Christ, so it's not all that confusing for us. But for the disciples, they were so confused that they began to ask among themselves, what is it that he just said? See, time is a very difficult factor for humans to fully digest into our understanding. See, God does not operate on the same time understanding that we do. Because Jesus is able to stand above time, as he did when he told the Jews that before Abraham was, I am. And they couldn't wrap their minds around this. This coming from the same man who was born just 30-something years ago to a mother named Mary and to a father named Joseph. And truth be told to us, even today, we can take this a step further and declare that even before Adam and Eve, even before there was a single living thing on this place called Earth, before God flung the sun into space and placed the moon and the stars in the sky, before the waters gathered in one place and the dry land appeared, before God said, let there be light, and there was light, was the I am. So we know and declare that God has always been, his word has always been with him, and our God defies our human understanding of time. It's why when the doctor said, I'm sorry, but there's nothing else that he can do, he just gives us a few more days to live, that God can step into that sick room and say, hold on, it ain't over until God says it's over. Sometimes we forget what's in the Bible. We forget about Hezekiah when he was sick and near death. And Isaiah, the prophet, told him, get your house in order, for you are going to die. That Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed with every fiber in his being. Remember now, O Lord, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And after he prayed to God, God told the prophet to tell Hezekiah that he would be healed. God even went a step further to set the sun back 10 degrees as a sign to Hezekiah. See, we cannot understand time, but God controls time because he was existed even before there ever was time. It's why we know good and well we should have been evicted. Our rent or mortgages were way past due. Letters were posted, emails were sent out, late fees were tacked on, but God extended our grace period, and just when we were ready to throw in the towel of life, he stepped in somehow, some way our rent was paid in full. It's why Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on the steps of the Capitol of Alabama could boldly say, I know you're asking today, how long will it take? Somebody's asking, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men, darken their understanding, and drive bright-eyed wisdom from her sacred throne? Somebody's asking, when will wounded justice lying prostrate on the streets of Selma and Birmingham and communities all over the South be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men? Somebody's asking, when will the radiant star of hope be plunged against the nocturnal bosom of this lonely night, plucked from the weary souls with chains of fear and the manacles of death? How long will justice be crucified and truth buried? He declared that afternoon, however difficult the moment, however frustrating the hour, it would not be long because truth crossed to earth will rise again. How long? Not long, because no lie can live forever. How long? Not long, because you shall reap what you sow. See, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. knew that he didn't know, but he knew. Say it again, I'll push it. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. knew that he did not know, but he knew. He knew that he didn't know when all this would end, when young black boys wouldn't be murdered for looking at a woman that was lighter than their skin color, when there would be no longer the need for colored restrooms and colored water faucets, when all men and women would be able to vote and to be considered as a human being and not property or less than. But he knew. He knew however long it took, God was going to keep his children, so he knew that it wasn't going to be long after all. Oh, beloved, stop asking God how long we'll be suffering, how long, and start telling yourself not long. And trust that God holds even time in the palm of his hands. So the disciples were wondering what Jesus meant. Jesus, seeing that his brothers are lost and not with him, he tells them in verse 20, verily, verily, or truly, truly. See, this is an oath-like statement. Maybe if it was a few years ago, He would have said, for real, a real talk, straight up, 100 or no cap. He's letting them know that they will weep and lament. Oh, beloved, we all can testify of this, that there will be some very difficult times in this thing called life, and the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. And while we are weeping, the world will be rejoicing, happy at our hurts, happy at our pains. And unfortunately, some of us can testify of this, that when we were laid off of our jobs, there were folk that were laughing and rejoicing at our pains. And when our marriages didn't work out, even folk we call friends were laughing and rejoicing at our pains. For the disciples, their agony would be the death of the Messiah. This would cause them to weep and to mourn. But those tears would not be in vain, because their grief erupted into joy on the third day when Jesus sat up, folded up that linen that he was once wrapped in, and walked out of that tomb. That joy will never end. Heaven is still rejoicing, and churches and Christians all around the world still rejoice because we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Oh, beloved, for us, our agony is the tests and trials and the persecution that we face in this thing called life. It's a disease that takes over our bodies. It's the temptations that are before us all day long. It's our children who have wandered away from the church. It's the lies told on us at our jobs or in the classrooms. It's the senseless violence that we see before our very eyes on news and social media. But our joy is like the songwriter records, "I'm so glad troubles don't last always. They may not come when you want them to, but he'll be there on time. And in times of trouble, I found him to be a friend of mine. I'm so glad troubles don't last always." And the reason troubles won't last always is because we know Jesus is coming again. Say it again. The reason we know troubles don't last always is because we know Jesus is coming again. So when asked how long until we see his face, the answer is not long. How long until our tears will be no more? The answer is not long. I mean, we can stop right here, close our Bibles, say the benediction, and go home. But God takes it even further and makes this plain for us today in the text. It's in verse 21 that God uses the process of birth to explain this sorrow turned to joy process. But for today's purpose, we'll call it no pain, no gain. The text tells us that a woman, when she is in travail, have sorrow because the time has come. Sorrow because the baby's head has dropped into the pelvis as he or she awaits delivery. Sorrow because for some time now the baby has been pressing on the mother's bladder. Sorrow because membranes have begun to rupture. Sorrow because contractions have become more frequent, helping the cervix to dilate. And as it dilates more rapidly, intense pain or pressure is felt in the back or in the abdomen. Sorrow because here comes the baby. And I'm told that just as the baby's head crowns and the doctor begins to suction fluid out of his or her nose and mouth, sorrow is turning to joy. But you must continue to push through the pain, because remember, no pain, there can be no gain. And finally, the baby's shoulders and bodies have been delivered. And just as the Bible records, as soon as that baby is taken and placed into the hands of the mother, no more pain is felt for joy that a child is brought into this world. Joy because for 9 months you've anticipated this moment. Joy because you have an addition to your family. Joy because your wildest dreams have come true. There was pain, but you gained. You gained a lifetime of new memories. You gained an addition to the family. You gained a mini-me. You gained another reason to keep on living, to keep on providing, to keep on striving, to keep on building, and to keep on growing. There was pain, so you gained. Well, a long time ago, in a place through Orion's belt, God realized that the only way he can fix this mess that our first parents, Adam and Eve, created was that he himself, a great God, had to come to earth and suffer great pain. And so he sent his only begotten son to this place called earth with a dual purpose of living the perfect example and to suffer great pain. And so after Jesus walked this earth for 33 years doing no harm and causing no wrong, the very people he not only created but was there to save turned their backs on him and crucified our Lord. You want to talk about pain? Nails driven in your hands and your feet, that's pain. And I would imagine that the most painful part was to be done like this by the very people you created and was there to save. That's pain. Bible tells us that after Jesus had given up the ghost, not a single bone in his body was broken. Took his body, wrapped him into some funeral linen, laid him in a tomb. Now, he does not have joy at this point. But he doesn't have pain either. Come on, somebody, you missed your shout. I said he does not have joy at this point, but he doesn't have pain either. Mama is sleeping, but no more pain, no more chemo, no more depression. She will never suffer another stroke again. For 3 days, Jesus sleeps in the arms of his father, dead to pain, dead to the denial and betrayal of his friends. But the Bible records that on the third day, he got up and he gained. Oh, beloved, he gained a whole world. He gained a new life never to be separated from his daddy again. He even gave him the name above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and tongue confess. Now, while all of that is beautiful, I believe what's most beautiful for us today is the fact that because he gained, we gain. Come on, somebody. Because he gained, we gain. I'm almost done. I'm about to take my seat. We gain peace. Peace beyond our understanding. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. We gain a friend. For what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Anybody gain hope? We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. We even gained a redeemer. For I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Did anybody gain a Savior? For what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. We even gain a new song. For sing a new song to the Lord. He to whom wonders belong. Rejoice in his triumph and tell of his power. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. We even gained a new home, somebody. Do, Lord. Do, Lord. Do remember me way beyond the blue. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun way beyond the blue. Do, Lord. Do, Lord. Oh, do remember me. Message of hope. I need you to know in this thing called life, we will suffer pain. And not light pain, we will go through great affliction. But without pain, there could be no gain. Yes, we got to go through the difficulties, but because he gained, we gained. Because he won, we won. Anything softly. I need us to be reminded of this as we're looking at the news and we're seeing all of the evilness and wickedness playing before our very eyes. I need us to know that not one tear that we shed will be in vain. I need us to know that there is a better day that is coming after a while. And this is the thing. As long as we're living in this thing called life, humans will suffer. Say it again. As long as we are living in this thing called life, humans will suffer. Cancer is no respect of person. Cancer doesn't care if you are a follower or not. Depression knocks on all of our doors or attempts to. Cost of living is not just for the Christians. Cost of living is for everybody. So why go through all of this? Why follow the Lord if we're going to still have to suffer? Because everybody's going to suffer anyways, but if you're following the Lord, a better day is coming for you. If you follow the Lord, he who shall come will come and will not tarry. if we're following the Lord, if we're walking according to his word, if we're trusting and we're leaning on his promises, when he bursts the atmosphere, you know there's only two things that can happen to us. Either we'll rise or we will remain. But if we trust in him, if we give him our all, if we give him access to our heart and our issues, and we allow the Holy Spirit to do what it does best, we'll rise and we won't remain. We're standing to our feet. And as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, our prayer today is very simple. Are we willing to acknowledge that yes, this thing called life is difficult, but as difficult as it is, our God is bigger. As challenging as it is, our God is stronger. And as dark as this world may seem, our God's light still continues to shine. We're praying. God in heaven, we're so grateful for the gift of Christ that you've given to us. The example of a perfect God who did no wrong, coming down to this place called earth and facing Calvary. It's because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's because of the bloodshed of our Savior that we have such confidence today. Because if our Savior can not only die, but get up out of that grave with all power in his hands, the resurrecting power of God is able to move in our lives. And not just resurrecting the dead, but that same resurrecting power can resurrect our marriages. That same resurrecting power can resurrect our finances. That same resurrecting power can restore our health, can restore our families. That same resurrecting power can restore our churches. And so, God, we ask you to have your way in our lives. We acknowledge the pain, we acknowledge the suffering, but we trust you through it all. Remind us of the times when you showed up in our lives throughout our history. Allow us to know that the same God that showed up then will show up for us now. This is our prayer. In Christ's sake we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated.